So Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. Come up. Yeah, come up on the screen as well. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Let's pray as we look at God's word together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity this morning to look at your word and to hear from you. We thank you for the chance to look at this passage and to see the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ to little children. On this Mother's Day, as we celebrate mothers, as we think about children, would you bless us as we look at your word, we pray. Amen. So, good morning. It's wonderful to be back with you. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited about this passage. I've really enjoyed getting the opportunity to look at it and to think through what it means for Jesus to interact with little children. And I think that's got a lot to teach us today, and hopefully it will do. As we start, I wonder, have you ever encountered something really small, something that seemed really small and maybe not very significant, that turned out to be much more important or significant than you initially thought? Or maybe something really small that turned into something really big. A few years ago, I was walking on the road. I used to live in central London, and someone had left these bulbs just sort of hanging somewhere, and they were free to take. So I grabbed these, hopefully you can see that, these quite small little bulbs. They're probably maybe an inch in diameter. They were called Rubina, so I was like, it's basically for me. So I took them, and I planted them. We didn't really have a garden, because I lived in central London, so we had a kind of little trench that one of my housemates had dug. So I planted these bulbs in this little trench. I'm not much of a gardener. I had no idea what was going to happen, if I'm honest. I didn't really know what lilies were. I guess they were a flower. And I just planted them in this trench, watered them every now and again. And a few months later, out of nowhere, these huge lilies sprung up. It maybe should have tipped me off that they were called skyscraper lilies, but they were big. They were, that fence, I reckon, was 6 foot tall, and they were probably another foot above the fence. So these tiny little bulbs that I just picked up off the street grew up into these huge, amazing lilies. And you can see they were really beautiful as well. That was a slightly smaller one in the corner. Really kind of blossomed into these incredible, amazing plants. And I think in our passage today, Jesus shows us that in the kingdom of God, even the littlest and the least are far more important than we might initially expect. And we're going to see today that Jesus values the littlest and the least. And this story comes in a wider section of Jesus' teaching about how Jesus' teaching clashes with the teaching of the world. And I think you would have heard about that last week when Stewie came and was speaking on divorce. And you heard about how the values of the kingdom of heaven often clash with the values of the kingdom of the world. And so the kingdom of heaven is a place where God's people live under God, enjoying God's goodness. And in that previous passage, you saw how the values of the kingdom of the world were kind of clashing with the values of the kingdom of God about divorce. So in the kingdom of the world, if your marriage isn't going very well, if it's not turning out to be how you expected, then that's fine. Just get divorced. Just end it. And Jesus says, no, in God's kingdom, couples who are joined together by God should not be separated without good reason. God's kingdom challenging the ways of the world. And in our passage today, Jesus shows how the expectations of the world about who gets to be in God's kingdom also challenges the world. So we get this wonderful image in verse 13. Look at verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. Isn't that kind of a wonderful, sweet picture of these people bringing all these adorable, little, cute children to Jesus? They know that Jesus is a big deal, and they want to bring their children to him so that he can pray for them, so that he can bless them. But there's a problem, isn't there? Look at the problem at the end of verse 13. The disciples rebuked them. Now, the disciples, they're Jesus' closest friends. They're his closest companions. They spend all of his time with Jesus, all of their time with Jesus, and they're not having any of this. They don't think that Jesus should be wasting his time with these little children. Jesus has got big, important things to do. He's been having these big, important theological debates with these Pharisees about divorce. Why should Jesus spend time with little children? He's got much more important things that he should be getting on with. Because in their culture at the time, children weren't particularly valued. People thought that children weren't very important until they grew up, until they became adults. Then they were kind of worthy of paying attention to. But until then, they were just children. They weren't worthy of listening to. And the disciples, they seem to agree with this. They seem to think, yeah, Jesus shouldn't be spending his time with children. They thought that Jesus cared more about adults than about children. I wonder what you think of that. Is that your impression of Jesus, of church? Kids, do you believe that? Do you think that Jesus cares about adults, but not so much about children? Well, we're going to see in this passage that that is not true, that Jesus does not care more about adults than children. He cares very much about children. And we're going to see that Jesus values the littlest and the least. So the disciples' attitude was to think that Jesus wouldn't have time for them. They thought that he was going to care more about adults. But we see in verse 14 just how wrong that is. In verse 14, what happens? Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Jesus says to the disciples, "No, you're so wrong. I do care about children. In fact, I care about them a lot. So send them over here. Bring them to me. I want to meet them. I want to interact with them. I want to be able to bless them." He says, "Let them come. Don't stop them." And then actually, Jesus goes further than that. He doesn't just say, "Let the children come." He sees these little children. He sees these creations of God that other people don't seem to care about. And look what he says at the end of verse 15. "For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." That is an amazing statement. That is a really world-changing statement. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Now remember, the kingdom of heaven is a place where God's people get to live with God and enjoy God's goodness. It's a place where we get to see more of how amazing God is, where God enjoys living with humans. And Jesus says, this is a place for children. Even children, even the littlest and the least in the world, they get to be in the kingdom. Jesus says, it doesn't matter how small you are, I want you to come and to be with me. We might expect big, important, wise, clever people to be there, but even children are welcomed in. Think back with me for a second to the king's coronation, which happened last year. I don't know if you managed to watch that on TV. Maybe you went along and saw some of it. There was a lot of pomp and ceremony, wasn't there? There was a lot of big things happening. There were lots of people in big fancy robes, big important people. Everyone, kind of all the world leaders gathered. All of these very important, impressive people. But I wonder if, like me, you actually remember a different part of the coronation in particular. Not all of the big, important men in their big, important robes, but maybe you remember Prince Louis, who was maybe 5 years old or so, I think, at the coronation, and rather stole the show with his weird waving on the balcony, his yawning in the ceremony. Just lots of pictures of Prince Louis doing slightly strange things. This wasn't from the coronation, but this was, I think, from the Jubilee a year earlier. We had him thumbing his nose at people and putting his hands over his ears when the planes went past. You had this big, amazing, important ceremony for the crowning of the new king, and you had Prince Louis behaving like a five-year-old, as five-year-olds do. And that was fine. The king didn't mind. Nobody tried to take him away, to say that he shouldn't be there, because he's part of the family. The royal family wants him there. They want him to be included because he's family. The king loves his grandson, and he wanted him to be part of that ceremony with them. Well, Jesus is our king, And he wants to include even the littlest children, because Jesus values the littlest and the least. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's turning upside down their ideas about the kingdom of God and who it should be for. It isn't just a place for adults who know everything about God. It isn't a place for people that are always perfect and always know what to say. It's a place for people who are messy and dirty and small. Jesus cares about children, and he wants them in his kingdom. So children who are here today, I hope this is making sense to you. Jesus welcomes you. God cares about you. He wants you to be in his kingdom and to be part of his family. You don't need to be a big, boring adult grown-up to be part of that family. Jesus loves to welcome children into his family. It's worth saying that doesn't happen automatically. That doesn't just happen if your parents are Christians. You can't just rely on that. But if you want to join God's family for yourself, if you want to respond to the invitation of Jesus, why not talk to your parents today? Ask them about their experience of being part of the family and how you too can be part of that for yourself. And maybe if you're not a child, but you're also not yet part of the kingdom, you know that. You know you're on the outside looking in, but you want that. You see how good the kingdom is. Well, Jesus shows how open the invitation is. It is for children, but it's not just for children. It's for all of us. And if you want to be part of God's kingdom, well, you're in a wonderful place here. A church is part of God's kingdom lived out on earth. So why don't I ask the people around you, maybe who brought you to church or who you know here, what does it mean for them to be part of God's kingdom, to live as part of God's family at church, and how you could be part of that as well? So in this kingdom, Jesus values the littlest and the least. What about us as a church family as a whole, for you at Berry Street? What does that mean? What would it really look like to really believe and to live out that truth? If Jesus really welcomes and loves children, what difference would that make to our lives? When in our final verse, we see verse 15, we see Jesus' final action. When he had placed his hands on them, he went out. He went on from there. So before he moves on, Jesus does lay on hands. He does pray for the children and bless them. He does what the parents asked him to do. He doesn't just want the children in his kingdom. He wants them to be blessed in his kingdom. And one particular way that we care for our children is to seek to nurture them spiritually. Do we help and encourage our children to want to be part of the kingdom of God? Do we teach and model to our children that being blessed by Jesus and being part of his kingdom is the best possible thing for their lives? Well, if you're here this morning, then in part you're saying yes to that. You've managed to get out of bed, to get the family washed and dressed and bring them along to church. And I bet that that probably wasn't easy for all of you. So thank you. That might seem like a small thing, but thank you for showing up, for coming, for demonstrating to your children that church is a priority. That you say to your kids, this is what matters to us as a family. Because the way that we behave shows what we care about. It shows what we value. I remember when I was a child, every morning, pretty much, I would see my dad reading the paper over breakfast, maybe, or in the evening. And by the time I was 12 or 13, I was reading the paper as well. I was a very exciting young child. And I grew up thinking that reading the news and finding out what was going on in the world and probably reading the sport as well was something that was important. And that's something that I still do today. I don't get a physical paper, but I still read the news. I pay attention to what's going on in the world. I try and read online what's happening. I'm not saying that everyone should be trying to do that, but I learned that that was important because I saw my dad doing that. I saw him doing that day by day, and it made an impression on me. It taught me that that was something to value. If we make it to church, even when it's hard, if we stand up and sing, even if we don't particularly enjoy the music, if we try and follow the sermon rather than getting distracted by our phones or something else, our children will notice these things. they will pick up on what we're valuing and what we're caring about, and they will learn from us what to value. Mums in particular who are here, thank you for coming to church on Mother's Day. I'm sure that maybe many of you might have rathered having a nice lie-in and having a nice breakfast, but you've made the effort to come along to church and to show that that's something that you value day by day. And I'm sure your kids will over time notice and see those sacrifices that you make to come along, to see what you care about. I think this applies to all of us, whether or not we have kids at church. The way that we behave at church shows the things that we care about. If we show that church doesn't matter to us, that it's a low priority, then our kids will notice that. They'll pick up on that. That should be something that all of us are seeking to do. Let's allow our little children to come to Jesus, and let's show them the way that we come to Jesus. So Jesus says to the children, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Jesus welcomes in the children. He blesses the children. He wants them to be included. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is for the littlest and the least. What a joy it would be if the way that we talk to our children and behaved with our children taught them that there is no better news than that. So children, I hope that you've been encouraged today that Jesus cares about you. No matter how little you are, Jesus cares about the littlest and the least. Adults, I hope that you've been encouraged today in how we can value what Jesus values in his kingdom, the littlest and the least. So let's pray for our children. Pray that they would not be hindered as they are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Why don't I pray for that together before we're going to sing again to Jesus, strong and kind. So let's pray together before the band come up. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus, and we thank you that he welcomes even little children into his kingdom. We praise you that you care for the littlest and the least. We pray for all the children who are here at Berry Street, that you would help them to see how much Jesus loves them, and that he wants them in their kingdom, and that they would want to join him there. We pray for us as adults, that we would value and care for our children as you value and care for them, and that we would not hinder them, but help them to be welcomed into the kingdom. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.